The sermon title today is The God Connection. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, I want you to go to verse 16. In verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I, for one, as an individual, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the good news to a world that is lost and that is dying today. It is the power of salvation. I, for one, believe that God is who He says that He is, and that God will also do what He says that He will do. The truth of Jesus is the power of God to salvation. Saints, do you stand with me today? Because if you do, you stand on the right side of eternity. Now look at verse 20 of the same chapter. In verse 20 of chapter 1 of Romans, it says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." All of creation shouts the truth about our Lord and our God today. It goes so far as to say in this scripture that man and their unbelief is without an excuse. For their unbelief. It is a true statement to say it takes more faith not to believe than it does to believe in the truth of the Lord. When you go to verse 25, it says this. Verse 25 of Romans 1. "Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And the world has exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Sometimes I wonder how this world can get any dumber than it actually has. But it continues to get dumber. If something I don't think is ever going to surprise me again, I turn around and I'm surprised. That's something else that they will bring out and something else that they will justify. In verse 28 of the same chapter, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting." Because man has not wanted to retain God in their knowledge, they have become lost in their own intelligence. Listen to the same verse in the NLT. "Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their own foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done." I say yes to Romans chapter 1, verse 25. They have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. It's okay for boys to be in girls' sports. It's okay for boys to use girls' restrooms. There are not just two genders, there are multiple genders, and the list goes on and on and on. And can you believe that these questions that we think are so stupid and so dumb and should not even be considered end up all the way to the Supreme Court? When you don't think it can get any worse, it does. Through the halls of higher education, we have young people today believing that socialism and communism is the answer. And never in my life expectation 30 years ago, I thought that we would ever see that. I remember that when I was a young person, there was a communist party and a socialist party, and they would be on the ballot, if any of you remember that, and they would get hardly zero votes. But they put them on the ballot. But look what's taking place in our country today, that we are, through the primaries, are putting senators and possible congressmen in the office through the primary, that they themselves might win the election and be either in the Senate or in the Congress. Socialism and communism has failed in every country. But oh, they say, this will be different. It will be done right. It hasn't been given a chance. I seen a joke this week, and there was a group of people much like this group in the congregation today, and the question was asked, how many people here want free stuff? And everybody in the cartoon, they raised their hand. Everybody wanted free stuff. And then they put their hands down because they had another question to ask them. And they said, but when asked how many here want to pay for other people to have free stuff, nobody raised their hands. 70 to 80% of our young people who go to seek higher education end up leaving their Bibles behind. And why is that? Even among kids not going to college, the percentage is just as high. And the question is why? Because we have failed to develop a strong enough connection between them and their relationship with God. Face it, saints, every day our faith is being pounded on as never before. And even that much more for these young people. Satan's goal in your life is to break your connection between God and you. Is your faith connection strong enough to withstand the blows and the pounding on it by our society? Brother and sister, you are on the right side of eternity. Never let the world confuse you and convince you that you are not. It is important that you believe. You and I believe that God is who He says He is. It is important that you and I believe that God will do what God says He will do. But it's vitally important that we mentor this daily, truth daily to our kids and in their lives. Do they see that truth in our daily walk, that that's who we are as people? I believe that God is who He says He is. I believe that God will do what He says that He will do, and do our children and our grandchildren and now our great-grandchildren, do they see that being mentored in our lives to them? Oh, we have young people. They know the Bible, and they know the right answers. And many of those that walk away from their relationship and leave their Bible at home, they know the right answers. They have the scripture memorization but still walk away from God. Why could it? Could it be because they don't see that both mom and dad are mentoring that truth in their lives? We all know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fiery furnace. But do you know their Hebrew names before they were changed? Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1 this morning. Daniel chapter 1, and when you get there, I don't have a lot of scripture today. I could spend the rest of the morning and the afternoon on this, but I won't. But in Daniel chapter 1, if you go to verse 6 when you get there, this is what it says in verse 6. So we know that the Israelite people were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And some of those that were really special, they wanted to use and they wanted to mentor to raise up and use them in their courts. In verse 6 it says, now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name of Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. We don't have time to go into a Hebrew study today, but maybe this afternoon you can when you get home. But each one of these young men had names that connected them to the one true God. When you look at verse 6, now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And in their name there was a connection between them and the Heavenly Father. The parents put that in their name so that would be something that they would always remember and that they would always be connected to. Well, what did the Chaldeans and the Babylonians do when they got those kids? They changed their name. They changed their name. Babylon wanted to break the connection between them and their relationship with God. They changed their names to be connected to one of their false gods. And all of their names were connected to that. They changed their names. They taught them their ways. And they even tried to change their diet and what they ate. In these young men's lives, Satan was trying to erase in their minds and in their hearts and in their spirits any connection that they have with God. And we see that that's just exactly what the world does today, and the adversary does it by a question. Is that right? Is that true? We've seen that with Adam and Eve. God says that we can eat from every tree of the garden, but from this tree we cannot eat because we will die. And Satan said what? Oh, surely you won't die. Getting them to question the relationship that they have with God and getting them to question God. The world wants us to question who we are and what we are in our relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. And we tell every one of our children that are born on this earth and every child that is in this church, God has a plan and He has a purpose for your life. If you keep your eyes on Him, He will lead you. He will develop you. He will continue to grow the life of Jesus into your life. You will experience that plan and that purpose in your life. But the world is pounding on them and pounding on them to break that connection between them and their Heavenly Father. Did it work in Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego and Daniel? And the answer is it did not work. The Babylonians were not able to carry out what they wanted to carry out in their life by erasing God from their memory bank. Satan is trying to do the same thing in the world today. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. It's a scripture you're all very familiar with. Matthew chapter 7. And this is what it says. Matthew chapter 7, then go down to verse 13. In verse 13 of Matthew 7, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate." This is the words of Jesus. "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it." It seems like to me that the gate just gets wider and wider and wider. Why didn't Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah walk away from God? That's the question that we have here today. Why did they not walk away from the God? Because their connection to God was stronger than the powers of darkness. In our young people's lives and in our children's lives, we want their connection with God to be stronger than the powers of darkness. What does the scripture tell us today? That greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. These four Israelite young men, they believed it and they trusted it because they truly did believe that God was who He was, who He said He was, and that He would do what He said He would do. Saints, we don't have to be we don't want to be part-time Christians in our lives, in our children's lives. And that's part of the issue. It's good when mom goes to church. It's good when mom takes the kids to church. But it's even better when dad goes with them. Because that connection is being mentored into their lives from their mother and their father. They're seeing that in their lives, that that connection is there, and recognizing that that connection needs to be in their life as well. Our kids are depending on us. Our young people need to see that we are all in for Jesus. And it's time, brother and sister, we need to get all in for Jesus. Some of us have had a half a foot in and half a foot out for most of our lives. It's time that we need to get both feet in. We live in a world that gets more lost and more lost and more lost, and the Christian values are getting more lost and more lost and more lost. And you are the ones that are right. They are not. Parents and grandparents, be that God connection in their lives. Mentor that into your children's lives so they will grow up and they will not walk away from God, but that they will always walk to Him, just like you. Let's pray today. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for your presence that is in this place. I thank you for all the music. I thank you for the children that were here today. I wish there were more here, but that's okay, Father. They may be in their own church, and I pray that they are, and I praise you for them being there. And I thank you for that today, Father. And I pray that if there's any parent here today that is not all in for Jesus, that today would be the day of salvation in their life, that they would be all in. That we wouldn't be a parent where just one is leading and one is not. Or we would not be a grandparent where one is leading and one is not. But we would be working in tandem and in harmony to lead and to make a stronger connection in our relationship with God to mentor that to our children today. And I pray that if there's one here today that has not made that commitment to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we want to take just for a moment and give them that chance. Father, in only a way that you can, I pray that your Holy Spirit would sweep over this place. And if there's one here that has not accepted Jesus, that you would speak your truth into their heart and to their life today. That, Father, we have sowed the word, we have watered the word in their life. Now I pray that, Father, you would energize that word in their heart and in their life today. And while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, would there be one by the signifying of the upraised hand? Pastor, I would like for you to pray with me today. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Would there be one here today? Would there be one here today? Father, we just rejoice in this time that we can be here. And we pray that, Lord, you would bless our day as we go on our own way, and that, Father, you would gather us all back together as soon as possible, that your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives, that, Father, we would not leave this word behind, but, Father, we would take it, and we would hold it in our hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.